It is so very encouraging whenever we hear that first reading from Genesis chapter 22 and how Abraham was told through blind faith to go to a place where God would show him and to sacrifice his only son, the one that God had promised all generations would come from. He was the son of promise. Somehow he knew that through faith, somehow God was going to let Isaac walk away from that place that day. But first he had to take him there, and he had to bring him to the top of that mountain, the mountain that would one day become the Temple Mount, where sacrifice after sacrifice took place. But one sacrifice did not take place that day, the one of Isaac, because the angel of the Lord appeared at the last moment and said, "Abraham, Abraham, do not lay a hand on the boy, for now I know that you have not withheld your only son from me," from God. It's powerful. Sacrifices. God made the ultimate sacrifice in letting his son not be bailed out at the last moment, but he took up his cross and he gave himself. In today's Holy Gospel, Jesus invites people to make a different kind of sacrifice, one to follow him. He said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul?" Wow. You know, it didn't just appear in Mark chapter 8, as we heard today. Also appeared in Matthew chapter 16 and in Luke chapter 9. And Luke adds a word that apparently Jesus said daily. He adds the word daily, take up your cross daily. Have you ever wondered what Jesus meant when he says, take up your cross? The apostles don't know that Jesus is going to be crucified. This takes place about a week before Jesus was sacrificed, when they were up near the Transfiguration, just before the Transfiguration that Deacon Bob preached about 2 weeks ago, near Mount Hermon up in Caesarea Philippi, and they have no clue what's ahead of them. But when you think of a cross, don't you usually think of the hard wood that Jesus is nailed to? I know I do. There's so many people who don't realize the terrible thing that the cross is. Crosses make great jewelry. They're beautiful, often used as symbols of our religion and our faith. Some people wear them, sadly, as good luck charms, believe it or not. And there are some that wear big silver crosses and big silver chains, and you know by their language that they don't have a clue what the cross means. They have no respect for the cross. In the first century, the Romans used a cross as the most cruel instrument of torture, ridicule, and execution. What they would do when they would crucify somebody, they would have the person by a road so that people on their way to Damascus or back from Damascus or some other place would see this person on the cross and they would basically ridicule them because they knew that they had done wrong or been accused of doing wrong. Wow, how terrible to be nailed to a cross. How very ironic that the very symbol at the forefront of Christianity is a thing which brought death to Jesus and also brought us our freedom from sin and death. It was a very painful, physical, and excruciating death. Whether you were tied on the cross or nailed to the cross, you were hung out to dry, basically. You were going to be there until it was all over. This is what the Apostle Paul in Romans 12:1 says. He tells us to present our bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. See, what Jesus says, follow me, his way has got to be our way. There are some Christian churches or churches that advertise Christianity for what it can do for you and how it can make things better for our lives, especially those who believe what is called the prosperity gospel. Jesus doesn't tell people to come and follow him because it's going to make their lives more comfortable. No, he never said it was going to be easy to follow him, but he did say we would not be alone. He did not promise us a luxury vehicle because of following a specific preacher, but because following Jesus will make our lives eternal and everlasting. You only have to look at John 3:16 and know the promises that are there because of believing in Jesus. In essence, Jesus is saying that if you want to be my follower, my disciple, don't expect a life of complete happiness and freedom from pain. Anybody here ever experienced pain? Yeah. Or you know somebody who's experiencing pain. And I know there are several people in here that have loved ones that are going through some really hard times with pain. Maybe not even being able to get up from a chair without wincing. Pain is not fun. But Jesus took on pain for us. Amazing. There are going to be days when you don't want to get out of bed because you feel crummy, because you can't walk, or maybe even you can't talk. So maybe it's a Saturday you can stay in bed. If it's a Sunday, look, you came to church. You came here this morning. Now, you might have felt like, no, I'm just going to roll over and spend another 10 minutes. But no, you made a commitment to yourself and to God that you were going to be here today. Maybe you're on Altar Guild. Maybe you're playing the organ. Maybe you're a deacon. Maybe you're a lay Eucharistic minister. Maybe you're running the camera. Or maybe you're leading the worship service. Have you ever had a day where you just like, no, it's Sunday. It's sunny outside. It's going to be 80 degrees. I just want to go in the backyard and chill. Well, you could chill later. But like Abraham, he knew that he had to take Isaac up that mountain. It was not negotiable. And you here came today, or you're watching today on our video ministry, because you want to be with the people that believe. You came to church either physically or electronically, and that's wonderful. You do what Jesus tells you to do. Jesus says we can expect to die, and we might even die painfully. When Jesus tells us to take up our crosses, this is something that we willingly have to do. Let's face it. Jesus didn't just get put on the cross. He walked all the way uphill to Calvary. And when he got there, as weak and as hurting as he was, he willingly got on top of the cross. He laid down on the cross because the sacrifice had to be made. He didn't say anything. He just got on the cross. Why? For you and for me. As an example, taking up our cross is not something that's done to us or for us. I've heard people speak about various ailments and problems that they have, and they'll say, well, that's my cross to bear. I'm sorry. I have to disagree. Taking up our cross is something we must choose to do. Jesus chose to take his cross and give of himself, and that's what we're being asked to do. Whatever it is, to do it willingly. Remember, last week I said, God does not tempt you. God does not tempt you. The enemy tempts you. And you willingly can say, no, leave me alone. Get behind me, Satan. Didn't Jesus say to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. Now, he wasn't calling Peter Satan, but he was saying, don't try it. Don't try it. You have to choose to make a sacrifice for the sake of the kingdom of God. There's only one person who can and will help you through such a situation. You know who he is. His name is Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. He is the one who can help you. How many times have I reminded you to pray when you're dealing with a difficult situation to say, help me, Jesus. But don't forget to say, thank you, Jesus. And I know there are people here today and there are people here watching have shared with me that they've been through situations and all they had to do was speak to Jesus and they felt his presence. They felt that he was with them, helping to carry them through that situation. If we willingly sacrifice everything for God's sake, we've taken up our cross. On the other hand, if we make promises to God and don't give him what we promised, then we're no better than trying to have our cake and eat it too. Just this past Wednesday night, I was teaching, as we were going through Genesis, I was teaching about conditional promises. The key word is an if. If. You know the way it works, don't you? Oh, God, if you give me this or if you do this, I'll do this. I promise I won't do that anymore or I'll do this, right? Cross-bearing is not an option we can take or leave. We're not to make deals with God. It's not a conditional statement that is followed by choices or results. Let me give you an example. If you would follow Jesus, then you must take up your cross. Well, that makes sense, really. If we would follow Jesus where he will go and go where he goes, right? Then we're being obedient. Jesus says, follow me. Then we are to obey and follow him. Loving the people Jesus loved, the hurting and the poor. Jesus lived his life filled with integrity, truth, honesty, and purpose. And he continues to carry that out today through many of the people that are here in this church and in other churches around the world. Jesus knew what he had to do, and he was not afraid to make enemies in the process. So here are some conditions to following Jesus. We're not making a deal with him. When Jesus gives you a condition, he keeps it, okay? When he told Abraham in Genesis that you will become the father of many and your descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the sky, God knew that Abraham couldn't keep any part of the promises in the deal that he had to do, but God kept every one of them. So here are some conditions to following Jesus. If you want to be a follower of Jesus, then take up your cross. It is what will help you put the kingdom ahead of yourself. If you're not willing to take up your cross, then please don't call yourself a follower of Jesus, and don't call yourself a Christian. If you're not willing to sacrifice everything you hold dear, then you have no business calling yourself a Christian. For then you are ashamed of him. It was Jesus who said, if you're ashamed of me, then I will be ashamed of you before my Father. If you're following Jesus, then don't be afraid. There are over 100 times that fear not or do not be afraid are in the Bible. Fear not and do not be afraid are usually spoken by angels when they appeared to people. Nobody said it was going to be easy. So try to do what it says. Do not be afraid, because we have him guiding us. We have him leading us. We have him giving us strength. And in some circumstances, he's even carrying us. I just love that poem in the picture, Footprints in the Sand, in which case the guy's saying, I walked all this way for you. And he's looking at the footprints and he says, where were you? And Jesus said, I was carrying you. Very interesting. Anywhere we go, Jesus has gone before. We were speaking before the service how interesting it is that Jesus said, I have overcome the world. He has overcome the world. All we have to do is believe that and trust in him. That was one of the reasons for the holy water down the aisle today, that we can trust in him and receive that blessing. He promises to guide and protect. Anything that happens to us, Jesus is standing right there beside us. And finally, when he does choose to end our journey, Jesus will be waiting to bring us home. All Jesus asks of us is this: give him everything, meaning to give him ourselves. Please don't worry about what's on the road up ahead. We have our security in him, the one who died to set us free. Then, my friends, you'll be ready to do what he asks of you. Follow me. So in closing, what do we have to give up to follow Jesus? The answer is simple: everything. What do we gain by doing so? Well, the answer again is simple: everything. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.